Welcome to the another session of the Link Developer Roundtable series. We're here with Oscar Newkirk. He's a consultant in the unified communication space, and he's going to be giving us a presentation on using ScreenPoc with the Link SDK. So it's about the client SDK. And a few other things I should mention is out on the forums, obviously you know about it because you've joined this session, but out on the forums we do have a full calendar of events coming up. And so let's see here. Just loading up what that calendar is just so that you're aware of what's coming up next. So the next session we have is part two on getting started with the Link 2010 Model API. That's on May 15th at 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And that's going to continue that intro to the Link Model API. We're going to talk about contextual conversation, and we're going to talk about the Link extensibility features and lots of other great stuff. So make sure you put that in your calendar, and we hope to see you then. But back to this session on the Link ScreenPoc. So without further ado, I'll hand it over to Oscar.
Okay. Thanks for coming and joining us on the session today. And I'm going to be talking about one of the scenarios, one of the things you can do with the Link Client SDK to enhance the user experience when they're communicating. So in particular, we're going to talk about the Link SDK, building a screen pop using the Link SDK, and we'll talk a bit about what that takes and what that means. So what I'd like to do is show you how you use this SDK to build a screen pop application. So screen pop applications essentially are targeted at providing additional context for conversations that you're having with people or what are conferences. So you're using Link to either have an IM conversation or audio conversation, and you want to have some information, additional information about the context of the conversation, either about the person you're talking to, about the topic of the meeting, whatever that case may be. And Link offers a couple of options for building what might be considered typical screen pop applications. One approach is to use a UCMA application using the UCMA SDK, and using that to provide context information for the call. So if you're in a situation where there's a UCMA endpoint or application in the call or in the session, that UCMA endpoint has the ability to cause all the clients to display a context window or context application and provide additional information about that conversation. And there's a sample of that. You can go look at this Channel 9 post on creating call center application, which is kind of a canonical example of that. What we're going to talk about is the situation where there is no UCMA application in the context, in the conversation, and you just have the Link client running on the desktop. And we're going to show you how to use that to provide this context. So I'm going to provide an overview of the Link components that we're going to use, and then we're going to dive in and walk through the code showing you how to do the actual implementation. So the goal is to have the Link Client SDK support an application that registers with Link for incoming conversations and sessions. That's a little bit of a misnomer. It's registered for conversations and sessions being created. You can get this same function for both incoming calls or conversations as well as outgoing ones that you initiate on your side. You can get events for all the conversations handled by the client. So incoming sessions and outgoing sessions. You can use the properties of the conversation to provide this contextual enhancement to the conversation for the user. So in particular, from the conversation itself, you can get things like what are the participants, what are their names, what are their SIP addresses, what are their tel URIs, that sort of information. If your session is an IM session or includes an IM session, the Link Client SDK also gives you access to the content of the IM session itself. So you could monitor the content of the conversation, perhaps have your application give you the ability to inject information into the conversation. So, for example, a common scenario for that is in the help desk scenarios where you've got a conversation request coming in from a user that needs help on some application or some instance, issue they've got. You can have a little button on a conversation, on a contextual application that says, insert, please wait one moment while I research your issue into the IM session so that you don't have to type that manually. You don't have quite the same level of access to the other media sessions, to the content of the media. So for audio sessions, audio video sessions, or screen sharing sessions, you don't really have a way to influence the media stream itself for those types of conversations. And then in addition to that, of course, when the conversation ends, you have the ability to get notified that that conversation is ending and be able to do some information gathering or recording of the content or whatever makes sense for your scenario. So what parts of the Link SDK are we going to use for this we're going to use the Link Client SDK, the Link Client object, which is basically the way that your application connects to the running Link Client on the user's desktop. Once you have that Link Client connection, you can connect and create an instance of the Conversation Manager. And that's the element in the client namespace that generates events related to conversations that take place on the desktop. So you get events when conversations are created, conversation added events. You get events when conversations are removed from the sessions, so they get closed or people give up on them. And the information in the Conversation Manager events, event arguments, basically tells you the information about the conversation you want to know. So what's the participant name, what's the participant URI, what's their tell URI, what's their phone number. And there's also a way, and I'll talk about this briefly in the code, that you can take that incoming URI that you get for the other participant and go ask Link for any additional information it can provide about that. For the most part, that only really works real well for people that are contacts, but it's a useful way to get more information about the participant. So what are we going to do in the application? It's really actually pretty simple. We're going to call Link Client Get Client to get our connection to the running Link Client. For this example, I'm assuming the Link Client is running and logged in, but if that's not the situation and you want to handle that case, then you can refer to the code that was talked about in the first Link SDK session that you watched, and it handles the scenario where you actually want to cause the Link Client to log in on the desktop. So once we have that client connection, we're going to register for the conversation events that we care about. And really the four main ones that we care about is conversation added, which we get whenever a conversation is started, either by us initiating it or by someone sending a request for a conversation to us. Excuse me. Conversation removed, which we get when the conversation closes, the conversation window gets closed. Conversation state change basically is probably most useful in PSTN conversations. This basically is how you distinguish when the actual conversation is active and sending media back and forth. And I'll talk a bit about that when we go through the code. But essentially, you'll get an event when the conversation is initiated. You'll get an event when the conversation is, the call is ringing. And then when the conversation actually connects to the other party, you'll get another state change event. And you can also register for participant added events. Not necessarily all that useful in incoming PSTN scenarios, but let's say you're in an IM conversation with John Smith and you are talking about some issue and you say, oh, well, we need to bring in James for this. One of you can drag James into the conversation window into the roster, and you'll get a participant added event when that happens, and you can then again turn around and go do this contextual information search and maybe display information about James. So once you get the conversation object, in step three, once you get the conversation events, you're basically going to process through those and use those to provide the context for the experience. You can not only, of course, provide contextual information when the conversation starts, you can also, since you're being notified when the conversation ends, you can also perhaps provide additional
operations there, like saving someone out of the content or requiring someone to enter. I talked to this guy for 5 hours about this particular topic, if you're doing time tracking things or operations like that.
Okay. So given that, let's go ahead and get into the code. Screen sharing loaded here. So the screen sharing finally showed up for us. If anybody out there in the IM land can just confirm you're seeing the screen as well, that would help us with it. All right, excellent, thank you. Okay, so this is really just a very simple WPF application. Not exactly a fancy UI, since I'm not much of a UI designer. But essentially what we're going to do here is just, we've got a little application, a little window that's going to show you information about the calls, incoming calls, outgoing calls, and just kind of record the things that happen. So I think what I'll do is I'll just start this up and go through it one time so you can see what happens. And then once we've done that, I'll come back and look at specific sections of the code and talk about what happens in each of those sections. So let me just fire this up under the debugger. Okay. So what I'm going to do at this point is I'm going to initiate an incoming call to my link client from my cell phone and show you what the call flow looks like in the application. So I'm ringing on the cell phone. And here's my toast from link, so I'm going to go ahead and accept that call. Now we're in the conversation. Just mute the microphone here. Okay, so let's just kind of walk through the code a little bit here and talk about what's going on, and then we'll come back after we flow through this and just take a look at some details. So basically what's happening here is we are getting instance of the conversation added event. So the client basically said, hey, there's an incoming conversation that we're going to create on your desktop. Here's information about the conversation in the conversation manager and arguments. So we step in here, and I'm sure everybody's pretty familiar with the dispatcher invoke. Essentially, because I'm processing this event on a thread pool thread, I need to do the dispatcher invoke if I'm going to do anything to the UI. So really, this is just, think of this as a wrapper around, hey, put this on the screen for me. And what we're doing here, basically, is just saying, hey, we've got an incoming call that we've detected, and let's look at the modality for that call and look at the audio-video modality state. And in this case, it's just disconnected because it's actually on at this point, but we'll step through the rest of the code. Okay. All right, so now what we've done is we've gone and gotten the participants in the conversation, which is part of the information we get, and we're going through each participant in the list and looking at a property of that conversation, of that participant called itself. So in the list of participants, you will have isself set to true. Everybody else in the conversation will have false. Fairly obvious. You're in the conversation. This is your contact in the conversation. Everybody else is an outside contact. So all I'm doing in this code basically is saying, okay, great, we've got a conversation. We've got a participant. In this case, it is the self. So all I'm going to do is print out some information on the screen. Now I'm going to come through my for each loop again and say, okay, I've got another contact object. And this one is not self, right? Is self is false for this contact. So basically, I'm going to store that away, that contact
in this other contact variable that I'm going to use later on, and just put into the window in the UI, the URI for that contact. And let me just step that for a minute and go look at the UI for a moment. Maybe I won't, because it's not going to help me while I'm sitting through it. Okay, we'll come back to that. So what we've done now is we've taken that URI we got for the other contact, and we've basically said, what type of URI am I getting? In this case, because it's an incoming PSTN call, the URI is tel colon whatever the phone number is. So essentially what I'm doing here is saying, I'm going to look at the incoming URI type that it is, and I'm going to do different things based on the type of session it is. So in this case, I know that because there's a tel URI that I've gotten as the other participant, it's a PSTN call, and I'm going to call this routine handle PSTN call to deal with the rest of the information on this application. And all I'm really doing in this is the actual handle PSTN call itself, is that little regex thing that basically tries to figure out what the phone number is based on the URI. And I do indeed find a phone number. So you'll notice this caller ID here is +1 and the telephone number. And again, I'm just going to use this dispatcher invoke to say, put that in the UI so I can read it and see what's going on. Which is not all that interesting. Okay, so now, at this point, we know we've got a conversation. We know the conversation is up and running. We know which participant in the conversation is not us. It's the other contact. This is the point where you can launch external context applications based on that participant. For the purposes of this demo, all I'm really going to do is launch Notepad with some information in it. But you can do whatever you want at this point. So one example I have commented out down here is you could launch a web page, if that made sense. So if you were using a web-based CRM system or whatever, you could certainly launch that web page and pass in some query string arguments to that web page saying, here's what I found, here's the phone number. You could, if you had another application running on your desktop that supported inter-process communication of some form, you could send a message to that other desktop application saying, hey, I have an incoming call from this phone number, pop up and provide some context for me for this application. So again, all I'm going to do here in this sample is just run Notepad with a file that has some information. Run that, and I'm going to start. And basically, Notepad pops up over here for me and says, hey, you've got an incoming call from Oscar Newkirk from this company. He's got an outstanding invoice of $50. Ask if there's some issue, because we'd like to get paid. Also, it says, hey, he purchased our soda machine last month. Ask if he needs refills. Or ask if he needs soda card syrups or gas cylinder refills. Let's try and drive a little interaction. So whatever makes sense for you. And then, of course, you've got the ability to come down here and say, he's a bum. Oops. Well, you could do that if you could type. Okay. But you get the idea. I'm launching Notepad. I just brought up a Notepad, a text file with some information in it that's relevant to the person that I'm talking to, that has information about things I might want to talk to him about or that he's talked to me about in the past, right? And not only have they got the ability to get that context information, so I've got it in front of me while we're on the phone, I've also got the ability to have it prompt me and say, hey, by the way, since you've got his attention, ask him why he hasn't paid his bill. Okay, so I'm just going to exit out of that for now. And here's kind of the extra credit. Remember I said that there was the ability to go ask the link for additional information about contacts? So this is basically just what we're going to do here. We're going to see if we can get more information about this contact based on the URI that came into this call. So we're going to step in. We're going to get the contact manager. We're going to call get contact by URI, because really that's all we have at this point. Now, in this case, the URI we have for this incoming PSTN call is just the tel URI. And Link may or may not be able to tell us very much about that, unless he's actually a contact of ours. However, let's say that this was either a link-to-link audio session, so someone called me using Link, say even a federated partner made an audio conversation from his link to my link, or it's somebody in the same company or whatever scenario it is. In that case, we get a SIP URI for that incoming conversation, and we might be able to get more information. So all I'm going to do here is basically say, hey, to the contact manager, get me the info you have about this URI, and then I'm just going to look at his display name. So I'm going to look at this, get contact information, and the type of information I want his display name. Again, because this is just a tel URI and it's not actually in my contact list, there really isn't any other information I can get. But I'll still get back a display name that basically is just a formatted version of the phone number that I can then display. And then I do the dispatcher invoke trick again to get that into the UI. Okay, and the next event I will get is the participant added event. Actually, I'm playing a little bit of a trick here. Remember, I actually already had the other participant in the conversation added event. That's how I figured out who the external contact was. But I'm also going to get a participant added event. And I put it in here primarily, again, as I said, to deal with that situation in IM conversations where you and I are having an IM conversation and one of us drags another one in. This conversation participant added event is what happens when I drag somebody into the conversation and add them to the roster. And when I do that, all I'm doing here is saying, okay, great, I'll just get the participant information and put it in my little UI that I'm using to display stuff. But again, you can do other stuff. So,
can you scroll to the right there? In Visual Studio.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Right. So I'm just getting the contact URI and saying whether or not it's me or not. It's not. It's never going to be in this case. Okay. So let's take a look at what the UI has told us and what we got. So we got some information about the call based on the incoming event. We got told there was an incoming call from that URI. We then figured out that's a telephone number, so tel colon URI. The participant information we got from the participant list we got for the conversation. So we knew one participant was me, and that's why is self is true. We got the caller display name by trying to do the contact lookup, and again, since it wasn't a contact and it's a PSTN call, all we're getting is really a formatted phone number. But if it had been a contact, then we would have potentially gotten their real display name, like John Smith or whatever it was. You can also, of course, ask for the other contact properties, like, you know, what's his phone number, what's his home phone number, or anything else that you have for a contact. And then this is the participant added event that we got at the end there. And again, really it's just telling us the other participants that tell you URI, and this is what he is. And then the other interesting stuff is down here. So there's call detected. So that basically happens when the incoming call comes into the client. The client says, hey, I've got an incoming call. Here's information about it. And that's when we got the event, went and looked at this and said, hey, what's the participant information we want? We then went to state connected when I accepted the call. So when I clicked on the toast that popped up and said, I want to accept that call, the state of that call went to connected, and the client API notified me the call state had changed to connected, and now the guys on the phone were actually talking. And state active basically means there's media flowing back and forth. I accepted the call. So now what I'm going to do is I'm just going to come over to my cell phone, patiently waiting over here on the desk, and hang up. And guess what? The call went away. And we're back, and we get call state terminated. Okay. And the only other thing, I skipped past it, but we'll talk about it. So remember I talked about the fact that you got a conversation removed event when the call got terminated. Well, either you hang up or the other side hangs up. I'm not really doing anything here other than printing out the fact that the call terminated, but you'll notice that I also have this if statement here saying, hey, if part of interacting with this, I actually created this context thing, that's providing more context for me, and I still have some connection possibility to it. Maybe I want to send it some information now that the call's ended. So maybe I want to send the CRM system, hey, call ended, and the time tracker system, call ended, and all of a sudden it knows, hey, your call started at 5 o'clock, your call ended at 5:30, you talked to this customer for a half hour, we're going to bill him for your time because you're a lawyer or whatever. Okay? So not only did the conversation start, allow us to provide context and also store information about the content of the call itself, the fact that the call terminated also allows us to go and update those information. Okay. So I think what I will do is go ahead and terminate this. I could walk through the outgoing conversation. Maybe I'll do that just real quick. It's actually all the same operations when you do an outgoing call. But we can try that. So I'm just going to make an outbound call. Here's my toast. This speaker is muted. Maybe tell them the line's busy. Oh, here it is, sorry. Okay. So I actually had some voicemail interaction on the other side that I had to go through, but now we are in a connected state. I did rerun the application. Sorry. That would help, wouldn't it? All right, so let me just fire it up. And again, the scenario is pretty much the same, but we'll just walk through it for completeness sake. What I'll do, just to kind of show you the UI update, is I'm going to disable all the breakpoints and just let it run through. Okay. Come over here. We'll do this again. Start up and call. And notice we still say call state active, so it actually hasn't been accepted on the other side yet. But we know we're making outbound calls, so now I've got the incoming call on my cell phone. I'm going to say answer that. Sorry, I'm going to do a little more button pushing here. Okay. And now we have the basic call stuff going on. So again, my context window popped up because even though it's an outbound call, I know the outbound tellurer I am looking at. So when the conversation started events happened, that was the non-self participant in the conversation. And the same logic applied. I went and found my contextual application app, passed him in the phone number that I'm calling, and got the same information screen to come up based on that. And we do the same, get the same information here. We have an incoming call. Well, it's not actually incoming, it's the outgoing in this case. I didn't change the label. And the call states basically go through the same thing. So detected, call detected, connecting, active, inactive, terminated, and exit out. And we get the same participant information. Okay. So let's go back. Maybe let's take a quick little poll on the attendees. Do you guys want me to walk through the code a little bit more? Are there any points that you're particularly interested in looking at?
Do you have anything left on your presentation
I do have one or two things left on the presentation, so let me just go through that.
We can dive into the code after that. We'll have a full half hour.
Good.
Yeah, we can.
Okay, so basically, this presentation is being recorded, as all the slides say at the bottom. The content's going to be posted up on the Channel 9. We don't know the precise URL at this point, but Channel 9, if you look for the tags link, you'll find that. Partner portal, I'm not sure what we're going to do with that. My intent on the code is to get the code up there tomorrow, and what I'll do is probably stick it up on SkyDrive and post a link to that on the as a reply to the thread that announced this talk. So you guys will be able to go out and pull down the code and play around with it. And some other resources that would be interesting to look at. So there's various MSDN locations. And again, once you look at the recording or once we get that up there, you don't have to necessarily write these down. But one that's interesting to go look at is there's another example of screen pops at this on this MSDN site. And that's it. Awesome.
All right. Thanks, Oscar. That was fantastic. So at this point, that ends the presentation phase. We have another 20 minutes that we can just open up for questions at this point. We can dive into the code if you want us to dive into the code. We can get philosophical about the APIs, what's possible. We could brainstorm different scenarios. Whatever is on your mind, we have experts in the room to discuss. So feel free to start entering questions over IM if you have IM capability, and we'll start the discussion. In the meantime, so it sounds like as far as some tips and tricks go, it's really important to monitor that isself property.
Well, not necessarily important, but it's basically the easiest way for you to distinguish which participant in the conversation is the other participant, if you want it. But
right.
It's not necessarily what you want to do for this for the scenario itself.
So, but there's these different scenarios. There's the inbound call and the outbound call.
But yeah,
and so it's not necessarily obvious which participant on the list is the inbound or the outbound, or you know, unless you check that property.
You can actually. So that's not inbound outbound. So the property really only tells you of the participants in the conversation which one is you and which ones are not. One or more are not.
Okay.
If you want to distinguish between an inbound call and an outbound call, if you look at the conversation event, let me go up to the code here. So this line here, we're looking at the modality, we're looking at the state of the modality. If it's an inbound call, one of the modalities you'll go through in the sequence is basically incoming, right? If you're making an outbound call, that you won't go through that state. So if you really care whether it's an inbound call or an outbound call, and you may not, right, you want context either way, really, is you could put a check statement or an if statement in here that says, hey, if the modality of the conversation, of the audio to video state of the conversation goes through this incoming state, then flag it as it's an inbound call. Not sure it makes a big difference in terms of whether you provide context or not, but if you need to make that distinction, you can certainly do that.
I see.
The other thing you should be aware of, I haven't really used it here because, again, this scenario this app focuses on the inbound or outbound PSTN scenarios, but this same concept works just as well for IM conversations, right, or for link-to-link audio conversations. But in any case, in every conversation you have, whether it's an inbound PSTN call or a link-to-link audio call, there's actually always an IM modality created in the conversation. It's just that until somebody actually sends an IM, the state is not active, right? So I could have put in a statement here and said, hey, tell me what the state is of the IM modality instead of the audio-video modality.
And I would have gotten a response because there is always an IM modality. But since we aren't actually using IM in this session, it'll just say, sorry, the state's not active.
So like in a scenario like an anonymous chat, you know, where you have a web portal and the customer is chatting with an agent, then in that case you care about the IM modality.
Well, in any IM sense you might. So for example, you notice, remember down here in the switch statement when I looked at the URI, right, I said, oh, well, the tell URI means it's an incoming PSTN call. If I get a SIP URI, it might be either IM or a link-to-link audio call, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to handle the SIP type of incoming or other participant, I should say, then I need to have code that goes and looks at the modality and says, hey, is this guy just starting an IM session? Or is he starting an audio-video conversation? And again, I can do that by looking at the modality state for that conversation. But I'm not positive it's all that relevant to the contextual information. I mean, if you're in a phone call, you want context for the phone call. If you're in IM, you want context for the IM session. So the type of session may or may not make all that much difference in the contextual scenario. You want context whenever you're interacting with a guy with any modality, really. So, but as I said, you can make a distinction if you like, both about whether it's an incoming call or an outbound call, as well as, is it I'm going to do something different because we're on a phone call as opposed to a link-to-link audio call or a link-to-link IM session or link-to-pick IM session. I'm talking to somebody in AOL, MSN, or Yahoo. Again, you get all that information. It's just whether or not it's relevant to the task you actually try to accomplish, right?
Yeah.
And the other thing I did also want to just point out again, remember I talked about this contextual application thing, basically starting up. I can start an app on the desktop. I can start launch a web page, pass in some query parameters. I can, if I've got an app already running on the desktop that I can talk to through IPC somehow, you know, send in a packet of information. All of those are really entirely possible and up to your, you know, situation as to what's appropriate.
So you could write to a database.
You can write to a database. You can do whatever you want. It's just code, right? But you also have the ability, when you get the conversation edited event, conversation removed event, to go close that loop, right? So if you send information at the start of the conversation to a time billing application because, you know, I bill for my time, I'm getting a call from a customer, I'm going to start an incident in the time billing session for, and, you know, tag it for that customer and say it started at 5 o'clock. When the conversation closes, you can close that loop. You can go and say, hey, time tracking system, that conversation I started with Oscar at 5 ended at 6:30 and update my billable time, billable hours for that guy and make that closure.
Right? Or if it's like an agent, you could give the agent a few minutes to enter, you know, the final data.
Well, and the other possibility, remember we talked about, doesn't necessarily make sense in audio, but in IM sessions or in sessions that include IM, let's say that you've got this web chat scenario you were talking about where a customer's coming into a help desk, gets assigned to an agent, the agent gets this contextual pop-up to interact with the help interaction with the customer. Any notes that the agent makes, or even if you want to automate it, you can take at the time you get this conversation added event or conversation removed event, take the content of the IM session and archive it off.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. In your back-end database so that you can come back later and do BI stuff on it. Like, hey, you know, what was the, of the IM sessions I recorded for the last 20 days, how many of them used the word problem with Foo? Mm-hmm. Right. And how long did those take? How long on average did they take to fix that? So you can take that content and archive it off automatically and make it available for further back-end processing and context. So it's not just presenting context to the person in the conversation itself. It's also taking context from the conversation as it happens and putting it into back-end systems for use later on. All of those are things you can do with it.
All right. Any other questions? Because I've got questions. But I'd rather focus on the attendees' questions rather than mine. All right. Well, in the meantime, so brainstorming around some of these scenarios. So what about various like call control scenarios? Like, so I get this concept, right, where somebody calls in and there's contextual data that you're capturing around that or displaying around that call. But now maybe, so going back to my call center scenario, maybe the agent isn't the one who's best suited to answer the customer's question. Maybe they want to escalate the call to to an expert. So I could imagine a few scenarios around that, but is there a way to, I don't know. I guess it kind of opens a can of worms, but
well, so
can you transfer this contextual data, to another call?
And so it depends a little bit on how you structure the application and how you do the transfer, but mm-hmm. let's kind of walk through one example. Let's say that I'm doing this web chat scenario, and I'm talking to the user in the sign-in conversation, and I say, okay, great, you've got a question about product X. I'm not actually the product X guy. I was just the only one available to talk to you. So what you can do, there's a couple of ways that you can handle in that scenario. One is that I as the agent can set up a side conversation with the expert. So he helps me, but you still just talk to me where I am with me, right? There's some advantages to doing that way in terms of keeping the customer context focused and things like that. The other option is you can say, well, we tried the canned things that, I read through my script and said, oh, if the customer calls and says I have this problem, walk through these steps, right? But that didn't fix the problem, so I need to escalate this to somebody that's second level or more of an expert. What you can do, because you're capturing the context of the IM session, remember I was saying you can archive off the content, you can take and start a conversation with the expert, right, and have your contextual application running on the desktop, put all of that context into his IM conversation so that he can read through it. You can say, hey, I'm getting ready to transfer a customer to you that has this issue. Here's what we've gone through so far. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. When the second level says, okay, I'm ready for it, you can basically just take the customer, add them to the conversation with the expert, right? And the context is already there for the expert.
And this is all client-side?
This is all done on the client-side.
Interesting.
Obviously, if you're using UCMA call center applications, you have other options as well, right?
Because okay.
There is a UCMA endpoint in the conversation. It has a lot of control that it can do and things it can automate for you. But you can do this just using the desktop client API.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, talking about how the client fits into these overall scenarios. So there is that server-side UCMA SDK that you can use to develop like a bot, for example.
Or a call routing.
Or handle conferencing. Uh-huh.
And all those are good things. And probably in any serious call center scenario, that probably makes more sense to do things that way.
So you would actually have a mix of the client side and the middle tier UCMA API. You'd mix them up. Okay.
That's really the only, you can provide context either way. It's just a matter of exactly how you get it attached to the incoming conversation and what you do with it once it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them provide the opportunity.
Interesting.
And you might do that, you certainly would do that probably using UCMA applications for call center scenarios, but for, say, a salesperson mm-hmm. who's, not necessarily in front of the computer all the time, it's just that they sometimes are out on the road, sometimes they're in their office, and they're going to interact with customers on their phone. They're not really a call center agent in the true sense, but they still require that context. And it's a lot easier sometimes to build that into the desktop infrastructure mm-hmm. rather than trying to build some dedicated UCMA stuff, right? And the nice thing about this, of course, is it works. If I take my laptop and I'm on the road and I'm in my hotel room and I log in and I'm running the Link client and running my little contextual application app that registers the Link client, all that works, right? Whether I'm in the corporate network or not.
Right.
It's just going to work for me.
Right, and you don't need necessarily need to configure Active Directory and get certificates and things like that.
Oh, you could, right? There's always outside access scenarios like web-based and stuff like that, but you don't necessarily have to. Yeah.
Looks like a few people are typing in the window. So we may have some questions coming in here. Okay, so we have a question from Suyati Technologies. So the question is as follows. We're very new to Link. We installed a Link virtual machine on our server. Now I want to connect to my Link server through a small Silverlight app using the Link client SDKs. And I want to create contacts. What do I need to do for the initial connection? Well, I'm not sure if that applies so much to this talk.
No, but it's... So basically you need to install the Link client on whatever desktop you're going to use it on, right? And log in with it to the Link server you've configured. And then once that Link server is running, the Link client is running, then if you go to the Link client SDK and want to use some of the Silverlight controls, that will work for you. So other than having the Link client installed and running on the desktop, there's no other real requirement to make that work for the if you want to build an app using the Silverlight controls that are part of the Link client SDK.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay. So the next question is, So it looks like there's a follow-up question. What are the internal and external IP addresses for the client?
So you have to use the full qualified domain name, right? So if you are configuring a Link client and you would like to connect it back, you either have to set the settings to manual and have it to be auto-discovered, or you actually have to enter the fully qualified domain name in there, plus the right port, in order to be able to connect back to the Link server from a VM back to the server. So that's, and maybe Kai, we can post some instructions on that, because you're looking.
The other thing you might run into is if the machine you're running the client on is not joined to the domain that the Link server is in, or is a part of, then you may have some security issues. So you might have to turn off high security mode on the client in order to be able to connect, unless you're going to go get a certificate valid in that VM domain and install it on your client.
There are some more advanced scenarios when you're dealing with a virtual topology, you know, inside a Hyper-V environment. So what I can do is follow up outside this discussion with a few steps that I recommend, and we'll continue that discussion on the forums. So the next question is, we have...
For contextual conversations.
Yes.
So currently we are using a registry entry. Is it possible to enable that in a different way? And the answer is no. So...
Well, it depends on what you mean by contextual conversations. So this sample that I've shown you doesn't require any registry entries.
Correct, but it's living in its own application.
But it's living in its own application, right.
If you're using the same extension.
Yeah, so if the scenario you're talking about, remember we said that another quote-unquote screen pop scenario is there's a UCV application that causes the context to appear when you're in the conversation. In that case, it needs to have the registry entry there in order to know which application to launch to display the context. But this particular sample doesn't actually require any registry. It simply requires the application be running on the user desktop, so it has to get installed either way. But it doesn't require the registry manipulation.
So you need a registry key only if you're using the contextual, or the, conversation window extension. Okay.
And you can propagate those using group policy or whatever else you use to get client configuration stuff done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Benjamin, does that answer your question? right? Hopefully that answered Benjamin's question. So I think we're about ready to wrap it up unless, oh, okay, looks like Benjamin's typing now, so we'll give him a chance. All right, looks like that answered his question. So if there aren't any further questions, we'll give you a second to start typing if you have any. Otherwise, we're pretty much ready to wrap things up.
And again, my goal is to get the sample code up on SkyDrive and get a pointer to that posted to the UC forum.
Great.
To reply to the announcement of this talk.
Awesome.
So you'll be able to grab the code and play with it.
Fantastic. Looks like Benjamin has a follow-up comment. And then that will be our last question. Okay, so... just give Benjamin a second. So in the meantime, while he's typing that up, this presentation was recorded, and I will post the recording in less than a week up on the forums. And as Oscar said, he will post a link to the code. And if there's anything else that you have, any requests that you have, feel free to post on the forum. We'll continue the conversation there. And so the last question from Benjamin is, he has an IVR and he would like to record conversations between the various users. He's wondering if that's possible to do.
Well, it depends on how you're implementing the IVR, but let me assume that you're using the UCMA SDK to implement your IVR. In that case, because your UCMA application's endpoint is in the conversation, it's participating in the conversation, you can certainly attach to the media stream for the conversation and record that off. So if you go look at the, pretty sure it's the recorder class in UCMA, that's basically what you want. And I think, pretty sure there's some samples in the SDK showing how to record the conversations.
Okay, thanks. No, there aren't.
There are.
There may be samples, but it's kind of up in the air. So, yeah. So from the client side, that's not possible.
No, you can't record the media from the client side, not programmatically. The only way to record stuff on the client side is to actually, hit the record button on the client.
Uh-huh.
But if you're scenario includes a UCMA endpoint in the media streams, then of course the UCMA endpoint does have access to both the IM and the audio streams and can record those.
And in peer-to-peer conversations, typically recording is disabled, but if you just hit the button first, invites via email, from that moment button will appear again, even if you're only in a two-person conversation. Because in effect, it then escalates it to a conference.
Yeah.
And the moment that it's in a conference, then you can be able to report again.
So that's a nice trick.
Nice workaround.
Yes.
You can't do that, of course, in code, but
right.
It's just to...
So, okay, so if you missed that, in the there's the button for the participant roster, and in that menu, there's a link for... inviting by email, and that essentially escalates to a conference. You don't actually have to send the email. And once you're in a conference, you can record. But that's a manual step. So Matt has a question if there are actually any reasons that we don't allow getting the media stream on the client SDK side. I don't think we have the experts in the room to give the actual reasons at this point. So. I don't know if there are technical reasons that stop us, but if I'm sure that's a common request, so we're aware of that, and that's on our list of to-do items. No promises. All right, so we'll wrap it up at this point. Thanks everybody for attending. Really appreciate it, and we hope to see you soon. Our next roundtable session is May 15th at 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and that's getting started with the Link 2010 Model API Part 2, where we will dive into contextual conversations even further than what we talked about today, and talk about link extensibility, such as docking and other features, and wrap that up at that time. And we have other sessions in the works that we're talking about. One session that we're thinking about scheduling is around UI suppression. And I know a lot of you want to build your own applications with your own UI, and not necessarily depend directly on the Link UI. So we'll have a talk about that coming up in a few weeks, and I will update the forums when that is ready to go. Yes, I will share the link to the next roundtable meeting once we complete this one. Thanks, everybody, for attending, and we'll see you next time.